before I get into the questions, I just need to say for those who are watching online and submitted questions, there is a number of questions, 3, 4, 5 of them that were submitted today that ahead of time that I just don't really understand what was being asked. So I'm not going to read them. If your question was not read today, then I encourage you to go back and print it out and ask a friend to read it and help you clarify what you were trying to say and then resubmit it next week. And I'll be happy to do it, but I just couldn't understand a group of these questions today. So if yours wasn't read, it's not that I'm trying to ignore you. I just really didn't understand it. I'm not going to read something I don't understand. First question, I was part of Design Law Message before coming to Common Reason, though prior to that, I was first generation Christian Adventist brought in under the imposed law model. It is frustrating to me that even though I have for years now accepted and believed in the design law model, I often find myself reading the Bible and the spirit of prophecy through the imposed law lens. It is very disturbing to me at times. Am I alone in this? No, you are not alone in this. This is a natural process demonstrating basically old habit patterns. You had a long pattern of seeing things in a certain way, and if you're not paying attention, the old ways of seeing things will exert themselves and come through. And when you recognize, you step back and go, okay, now what's the design law view? As you practice the design law view more and more, it will eventually, you will prune back the other way of thinking, and this will become an automatic way of doing it. Similar to learning a new language, if you're not focusing, you will find yourself thinking in the old language instead of the new language until the new language becomes the predominant one. I'm not going to read this whole question, but I'm going to mention it, and because I've gotten some through the email as well as posted here, and that has to do with the lunar eclipse coming and things happening to Nashville and stuff along these lines. And are these signs from God? And the lunar eclipse going to cover several cities that are named Nineveh in the United States and so forth and so on. So let me just talk about solar and astronomical events versus true acts of God. Lunar, various eclipses, solar eclipses, lunar eclipses, whatever kind, these are conceptualize the working of the machinery of God's cosmos in the same way watch machinery, once it's built and wound up, it winds and unwinds in a very predictable, certain, constant pattern. The movements of the heavenly bodies are in a constant, predictable, known orbit, rate, and process of rotation, and that is calculable. Our scientists can tell you right now every single eclipse that's going to happen for thousands of years, as far as in the future that they want to calculate, it is a never-ending, easy calculation for them to do because the Earth rotates at a specific rate, moves around the sun at a particular rate, the moon moves around the Earth at a particular rate, and all you have to do is plug this into an algorithm, and you know exactly when these things are going to take place. And in ancient cultures, the astronomers, which were usually the pagan priests, would monitor the movements of the astronomical bodies, and then they would make these predictions, and they would use them to make it appear their gods had power. Being able to predict a lunar eclipse is nothing more than having some scientific insight, and a lunar eclipse is not a supernatural event. It is a natural event of the outworkings of the laws of God. And so this lunar eclipse happening is not a supernatural sign or wonder, and people who try to promote it as, they're actually practicing the principles of paganism, not Christianity. When you see supernatural events in the Bible happening, you will find that they are not natural events. They're unnatural events that are coming from God's hand, like the sun standing still when Joshua calls for it. That you can't predict and you can't call for by watching the movements of the heavenly bodies. The stars falling, the moon turning to blood, other signs and wonders. These are not recurring events that happen on a particular calendar, a particular scale that anybody who measures them can predict. These are unpredictable events, which means the difference, God's predictions are the predictions of someone who can see into the future and knows future events. They're predictions of foreknowledge. Pagan deities are not predicting foreknowledge. They're measuring events that the average person is unaware of that has a supernatural feel to it, and then they're inserting themselves in there and claiming supernatural signs and wonders when they're just natural, cosmic, and astronomical events. And so don't buy into all this mumbo jumbo that certain people are putting out about an eclipse happening and it's a supernatural sign. It is not. God doesn't make supernatural signs that are simply the mechanical working out of the, it's like the sun rising and the sun falling, eclipses of the same nature. Can you please expand on Jesus' end time warning about when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them? We hear so much about all the other warnings, but this is a rare mention. I think this has to do with the peace and safety are declarations of imperialism or voices of authority in direct denial of reality. That's what that is. And we saw examples of this. And those of us who, we saw example of this during COVID, and those of us who don't go with authority and imposed law, but with design law, knew that it was a mumbo jumbo. How many times did you see voices of authority stand up on the news over and over and over again and declare peace and safety? We just get everybody vaxxed and everyone will be safe. We will be safe from this virus if we just get everyone vaxxed. It will go away. Liars. Did you hear that over and over again?
Yeah.
That's what he, beware of this when they say peace and safety. And did it bring peace and safety from this virus to get injected over and over again? Yeah. No, just the opposite. The more injections you have, the more vulnerable you are to get COVID.
Yep.
That's reality. Those of us who understand design law were warning of this from the beginning. So that's what I think it means on any subject matter. Authoritative declarations of peace and safety in contradiction to the actual reality of how God's kingdom works, the design laws of life. Here's one. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Could he have been speaking to the angels too? Because part of the reason Lucifer rebelled was he considered himself to be equal. Yes, absolutely. Jesus said, I, if I be lifted up, will draw all unto me. In your Bible, I have the word men, but men is supplied. In Colossians, it says that all things in heaven and earth are reconciled to Christ on the cross. So absolutely, Jesus was speaking, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, not just to men, but to angels as well. So good insight. So here's one. It says, the name Tim Jennings in Adventist circles elicits three typical responses. And here are the responses. Who? Yes, I'm a stealth member too. And isn't he the offshoot guy that believes God doesn't kill? How can I concisely capture the beautiful character of God, its embodiment in design law, his desire to heal and not to punish in a short conversation? For me, really, I cut rubber to the road. I asked them, how do you understand God's law functions? Straight to it. How does God's law function? Do you see it as the laws of gravity, the laws of health, the laws of physics, the creator built reality, his laws of design protocols that are constants and never change? Or do you see his law functions like human law, made up rules? How do you see his law functions? That's how I go straight at it. And then because that is immediately, every time it clarifies. Any part of God's law that functions like human law requires them to believe God is the source of pain, suffering, and death. Under the guise of justice, he has to punish. He doesn't want to, of course, so he sent his son, and he made him the criminal responsible, and he punished him. And so they have God as killer, the father. So you can expose this very, very quickly. And if you know your Bible text, you can actually show from Scripture it's the exact opposite of what Scripture teaches. The wages of sin is death. Sin, when full grown, brings forth death. Those who sow to the carnal nature, from that nature reap destruction, and on it goes when you have design law. But they're teaching, well, no, that's not actually true. Sin doesn't lead to death. Sin leads to an execution chamber where God has to kill you for it. The problem is not in sin. The problem is in the God who kills you for it. That's where they go. So you can get there very, very quickly with that question. It says, my church knows that God's law is the law of love, yet they can't seem to go beyond level 5 understanding. Altruism is fine, yet it is still principle-based and is disciplinary in nature. I try to elicit a level 6-7 evidence-based scenario like disciplining a child not able to rightly discern mature from immature decision-making, but yet my church still puts forth level 4 and 5 reasoning for evangelism and outreach. What other real world scenarios can help them understand level 6 and 7 decision making? This is why Ellen White said that the health message is the right arm of the ministry. The health message. Because when you go to the health message, sincerity, loving other people, number five, is not enough. Rule keeping is not enough. If you're actually going to help people get well, you have to love them, but you actually have to know the laws of health. So you can give examples from real world, like the doctors who treated George Washington when he got pneumonia, our first president. They bled him and they leached him to get out the evil humors. They had in their heart, he was their hero. They loved him. They wanted to help him. Their heart was altruistic. They were for him. Level five. But they did not understand level six, the design laws of God. And therefore, even though they were for him, they caused harm. See this in relationships. When a level four pastor, law and order, has emerging level five wanting to be a blessing to his congregation, and he teaches authoritarianism that husbands should rule over their wives and wives should remain silent and not ask questions in church, but wait till they get home. And wives should not have liberty and freedom because they are to be ruled over by an authoritarian husband. He may have the motive to help, but he doesn't understand the law of liberty and the principles of God, and thus he will ultimately destroy individuality and harm, even though his intention is to bless. So there are lots of examples like this. If you understand the design laws of God and how they work, you can pick out these examples. It says, are you against the teachings of the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church? No, it's a great question. I wish you were in person because I would have to clarify that question. First off, what do you mean by teachings? For instance, the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church came out with many policies during the COVID time that I was against. They took many positions that this is not a religious issue. I'm against how you treat your spirit temple and what you put in your spirit temple is a religious issue. And I could expose that very quickly to those particular leaders who said that by just pointing out, if the government came out during COVID and said, we believe that we can kill this virus if every single person in America were to either eat one piece of pork or drink one glass of wine. Do you think the Adventist Church would have said, that's not a spiritual issue. That's not a religious freedom issue. That's a health issue. Or do you think they would have said, no, that's a religious issue. That's a spiritual issue. You can't force people to put something like that in their spirit temple. Well, which has the potential to do more harm to somebody, one piece of pork in one's life, one glass of wine in one, or an experimental RNA-based injection that can potentially alter your DNA? Which has the potential to do more harm? Well, clearly the injection, and it's demonstrating now. The evidence is coming home to roost. It's causing all kinds of dangers and harms and injuries and even deaths. But they didn't stand up against it. Why? Because they're level four. They go with the rules. And they couldn't find a Bible rule or an Ellen White rule that said they shouldn't do it. So they didn't know how to think their way out of the problem because they don't understand principles. That's why. So am I against the teachings of the General Conference? Depends on which teaching you're referring to. Now, if you're talking about the 28 fundamental beliefs, the voted statements, I'm not against any of those. But the Adventist Church had a split in 1888. And the split was the leadership taking a position against the reformers. And I stand with the Adventist reformers to advance the true gospel message. And one of those reformers was Ellen White, and she wrote that the message will not be completed until it's put in its right setting. And you have to take those same truths. Remember, the Jews had all the right doctrines that Jesus had, but they had them in the wrong legal setting. And so I don't disagree with any of the voted statements, but they're all placed in a false legal setting. And you have to take those same statements and put them in the design law setting. And now it resonates. It has the right ring. It's transformational. It's life-changing. It's the final message of mercy. So no, I don't disagree with the official voted statements, one paragraph in the beginning of each of those chapters in that book. During class today, you mentioned not fighting back to protect self. in the end days, if there is mass civil unrest, evil people are attacking others and or hurting them, are we to defend them even with potential violence? I would imagine this falls into giving our lives for others and risking ourselves for others and law of love. How do you view this? So this, if I understand the question right, people are doing violence. Do we go out and do violence to stop violence? No. Not protecting ourselves, protecting other people that are innocent. That's how I frame this. And this is a way to continue to promote the violence. So I won't answer for you. I think every person will have to be fully persuaded in their own mind. I will say there in the book, Early Writings, Ellen White wrote the following regarding the very final time of trouble before Christ comes. Just one little paragraph. It says, as the saints left the cities and villages, they were pursued by the wicked who sought to slay them. But the swords that were raised to kill God's people broke and fell as powerless as a straw. Angels of God shielded the saints. As they cried out day and night for deliverance, their cry came up before the Lord. And so there's this idea that in the final events, and there's other statements similar to that, where she says that in the final events, God will not permit in the final end his people to be killed by the wicked, because that would give Satan the complete victory of the planet. And he will not permit that, that he will send his angels to guard and protect and watch over them at the final end. And that group of people are described in Revelation 12, verse 11 in these words. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. They don't go into the survival, defend self mode. They trust Jesus with their lives and leave it up to Jesus to protect them like he did Daniel in the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They will have that sense of peace and confidence, and they will know the Lord is leading them. How do you respond in situations where churches acted like they did during COVID? Is it better to sit at home alone with God than attend a church that followed COVID restrictions and mandates? So I would encourage you to pray and ask the Lord how he would like you to deal with that. There is certainly opportunity in places that God needs his witnesses, like he needed Jonah to go to Nineveh. He needs people to go into those groups and bring the true message, because there's people there that don't know. And so God may be calling you to go to some of those churches that lock their doors to share the true message. And now because there's a after COVID evidence and database that you can actually, most people can actually figure out, we were lied to. The jabs didn't stop. People who got the more jabs got more infected. Why did we trust these liars? Why did we surrender our thinking to them? What was the motive there? So it's a real rich opportunity for bringing in the design law perspectives. And the reason people were so vulnerable to this is because they've been trained often in their churches that the righteous follow the voices of authority. They don't think for themselves. They trust whoever God has put in charge to do what they're told, to be good, obedient law abiders. And since they passed a law, we should obey the law. That is not what God is calling people to do. God is calling people to be discerning, thinking, mature people who can differentiate right from wrong and understand and live out the principles of God at this time in history. All right, let's close with prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you so much that you have given us minds created in your image, and it is your intention for us to develop the stature of Christ to become mature Christians who grow up to have your mind. And we pray that your Holy Spirit of truth and love will work in each one of us to complete your plan for us and settle us into the truth intellectually and spiritually. We cannot be moved, and we can be effective witnesses for you, and that you will come soon. We pray in your holy name. Amen.